coast to coast, pole to pole, all around the world on the internet, and now broadcasted in over 125 countries through the airwaves. Thanks to the marvel of technology, I am coming at you live from my little guest house in Memphis, Tennessee. This is Keith Anthony Blanchard, your host of the Center of Light radio show, Center of Divine Unfoldment and Reinforcement.
Welcome one, welcome all. The Center of Light Mothership is now launching for inner space. I guess you can call me an astronaut. Who am I? I am your host, Keith Anthony Blanchard, every Thursday night, 7 p.m. Central, daylight time. This enlightening machine fires off. We used to do Monday nights, 8 p.m. Monday nights, and I had the opportunity to move to prime time. A good one for me. My music schedule works better, at least for the moment, in this way. But before I start the show, I want to send a big shout out to my almost 10-year-old beautiful little boy, Eden Sky. He lets his daddy sit in front of a 48-inch computer screen every Thursday night, and he keeps to himself and he plays video games, and he's such a great little boy. And so no better way I can start this show than to acknowledge my beautiful child. And I want to say thank you, son, for being such a good inspiration and beautiful presence in my life. Also, a couple of adverts real quick. I have a fantastic program for you tonight. We're going to get to that shortly. A couple of shameless adverts. For all you Keith Anthony Blanchard needs, make sure you go to keithanthonyblanchard.com. There you will find links to my bestseller, The Divine Principle, Anchoring Heaven on Earth. You can also go to Amazon for that. You'll find links to Eden Sky Wonders Why, children's book series, I'm modeled after yours truly, my boy. You can also find the information on that at Amazon.com. My new release just came out a couple of weeks ago, For the Love of God, A Spiritual Journey. This book took me about 15 years to complete. It's about my journey to South India to spend time with an avatar, which translates to a divine descent by the name of Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Sai means mother, Baba means father. This man who passed in 2011 was a full-blown incarnation of the Godhead. Believe it, trust me, and I've been doing this walk for many, many years. And there's a lot of people who come along and claim to be God-men and so forth and so on, blah, blah, blah. But when I had the opportunity to go to India to be in the presence of this divine descent, the energy is palpable. Someone who creates miracles in front of your face. Mind you, I'm an aware guy, and I can brag enough to tell you that I can see. And I don't mean with my eyes. I am peripherally available. I am peripherally aware. And the level of experiences, not only with the holy man, but the magic and the synchronicity and the alignments that happen surrounding being on the ashram, surrounding this holy man. And the biggest miracle for me was people of all faiths, Buddhists, Islamics, Muslims, Hindus, Christians, Buddhist monks, scientists, doctors, lawyers, plumbers, people from every walk of life, every creed, from every profession, there to experience the unifying power of this holy man, and doing it in a very loving and peaceful way. There is no greater miracle, in my opinion. So make sure you check out For the Love of God, A Spiritual Journey. You can find that also on Amazon.com, or you can go to KeithAnthonyBlanchard.com, which you will also be able to find the movie about my life, Do What You Love, A Path to Passionate Living, portraying my life as the example, telling you, yes, you, that you can go out there and live your passion. Anything stopping you is a belief in your head that you cannot be successful. Well, let me describe success to you. Success to you is a smile on your face every night when you lay your head down on a pillow. When you put your head down on that pillow and you feel happy, your household feels happy because you are living your passion. That is success. Everything else is just gravy on your taters. Gravy on your taters. You can laugh, David. It's okay. Let's get David Matthew Brown, who I have to say that, man. I'm from Memphis, Tennessee. David Matthew Brown was also a loving contribution for my new release, For the Love of God. He wrote the introduction, and mind you, a very, very powerful one. Let me tell you a little bit about my guest, Mr. David Matthew Brown, who happens to be an inspiration to me. And as I flex my spiritual muscles, I think I'm very well endowed until someone like David Matthew Brown appears on my show. David Matthew Brown devotes his time to sharing a fresh and unique message of transcendence, unity, and spiritual healing. Alongside his message, David's skill and experience as a speaker, facilitator, and practitioner of the presence are eagerly and increasingly sought after by audiences across the world. David's uniquely positive spiritual perspectives are especially vibrant in his work as an author, a teacher, and a counselor, trained at the Agape International Spiritual Center. And this is those out there who might be familiar or not. This is Mr. Michael Beckwith's center creation expression that, wow, fortunate are you to be a part of such an amazing pillar of light. Formerly the host of Inside Out, David was blessed with the opportunity to speak with a litany of guests, including Swami Kriyananda, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, Don Miguel Ruiz, Marion Williamson, Byron Katie, Dr. Bernie Segal, Cynthia James, and Matthew Fox. Matthew Fox, that's the guy on the TV show Lost, I believe, to name a few. David also had the honor of hosting and reporting at Dr. Jane Goodall's Day of Peace, where he interviewed top celebrities on peace, including Pierce Brosnan, Celia Moon Frye, Mary Lou Hanna, and Rose Byrne. Welcome to the show, David Matthew Brown.
Thank you. You know what? I love your new book. So if people are listening, get the book, quite literally. I mean, I know that you have used the word the shameless plug, but there's nothing shameful about that book, man. It's just, it's a wonderful, but it's, you take us through such a wonderful journey. And what I really enjoy about that book was, you know, how open and vulnerable that you are in that book, which maybe a lot of people might see and some might not, but you really get a holistic look into who you are, like your whole heart. You really it's just a really beautiful book. And to hear you say that it took 15 years, you know, to marinate and then get it out on paper, man, it's all in there. So, and I also love, because I've seen your movie too, and I love that as well. And I know that there's some people right now that could really use that movie because, you know, we're moving through a lot right now, just as a globe or society or community, and a lot of different things are coming up. And that movie that you have is also a good place for people to go to just kind of like remember and to know that they're okay.
I appreciate your kind words and your support especially from someone like you who is in the trenches, doing the work, living the passion, blood, sweat, and tears, all out in exposing. And I appreciate your words, and I think your words open up the show very nicely, because the show's topic tonight is we're speaking about letting go and surrendering and releasing. Yeah. And that book, for me, you mentioned exposing myself. It's easy to expose your passions, the things you are vibrant about. Right. But when you begin to expose those things that you hope nobody's looking when you took that piece of candy and you shouldn't have, kind of thing. And but when you really get to a level of saying, you know what, screw this, and you split yourself in half and you expose your core, it feels really, really funky at first because, you know, oh, my God, who's watching? Who are they going to see? And after a while, the impact and the nervousness and the fear of truly being seen begins to dwindle. And then you find yourself really okay with your faults, your shortcomings. And actually, there's a power latent in that when you can actually expose yourself in such a way that it becomes a tool to better your life. David, let me ask you right off the bat. Define the spiritualist as a Webster's dictionary. What is truly letting go?
The first thing that just popped, almost just like flew out of me, was stop resisting. It's because we resist so much that we have a word called letting go, right?
But like, yeah.
So, you know, that would be the simple, you know, the definition of letting go. You know what? Pondering and kind of contemplating letting go the other day, and it was interesting and quite curious, because what came forward was, for example, a tree, when a tree is growing, doesn't lose anything even when the branches fall off. They let them go because they've outgrown the branches, but they haven't lost anything. Like, the tree is still the tree. So I really feel like sometimes we almost turn letting go or surrender into a loss, and we misinterpret what it actually is.
Let me stop you there, Dave. Let me stop you there. Very, I don't mean to interrupt, but I do. That's a very important piece of information. You said we always turn letting go into a loss. Why is that?
Because we're letting go of comfort, letting go of what we know. I mean, we're moving, right? I mean, you talk about in your books, you probably talk about on your show, you talk about with your friends, you know, we're in creative love. And so there's no beginning or end in love. It is endlessly creating, just like the breath. Here comes one breath and then the next breath. And life itself is continually letting go. And we tend to get comfortable, whether we get comfortable in relationships or jobs or even like spiritual things or whatever it is, but letting go is natural. Letting go is a natural thing, but we somehow have this conditioned reaction where we're constantly reacting to things, and that reaction is resistance to what is actually happening. Here's a good example of that for myself, and this just happened, so this may help us all out, really. So about 6 months ago, I was asked, kind of in a roundabout way, not realizing where it was taking me, to be on this Tuesday night radio show with these two channels, two women that are great mediums in the channel. And I was kind of when they were done channeling with somebody, they would ask me if I had any, like, life advice, and then I'd give life advice. And so every Tuesday, for whatever reason, it just kind of became an ongoing thing. I would show up, you know, I'd call in, be a radio host. So this past Tuesday, I was on the show, and all of a sudden, the guest that was on took over, which is fantastic. And then I heard within myself, it's time to go. It's time for me to leave. Like while I was listening, like while I was on the show, just in my gut, with this really strong voice. And not leave the show at that moment, but it's time for me to move on. And so I sat with it, and then, you know, Monday night or Tuesday night, I sat with that. And I didn't make a move. I just kind of sat with it. And then Wednesday morning, there's all kinds of, like, the hosts were discussing a shift, like bringing on, like, a new person and starting a whole new show. And I was able to observe their energy, the three of them, and it was fantastic. And it was one of those things where I found myself still holding on. Like, I was like, oh, my gosh, this thing's over with, and I still want to hold on. So I had to check in with myself and check in with my feelings and be with my feelings and just be aware of my feelings. That's all, like no judgment, you know, no good or bad, just be with my feelings. And as I was with them, I began to ask myself, what is this feeling for? And I got resistance. And then I asked, what is this feeling of resistance for? And then I heard, resistance of the universe. And I went, oh, I'm resisting what is actually happening. So I messaged them. I said, thank you so much for this opportunity. I will be done next Tuesday. That will be my last day. And all of a sudden, like, I just felt free again. There was no thinking. There was no anything. It's because what is actually happening for most of us, we get caught up in the brain, and the brain's first thing is a reaction, not a response. And so we react, we resist, we hold on, we control, we do everything that we can, like we're almost like throwing a tantrum. And that's what I also believe where letting go really helps us when it comes to forgiveness, because letting go and forgiveness and love are all the same energy, whereas they're all about acceptance. See, if you resist what is, if love is all that there really is, and that's what we're in. We're all in love, right? Quite literally. So we're all in love. Then we resist what love is giving us in our lives because we don't like it. Right? So we move through it. And we either let go or we harbor all sorts of guilt, shame, frustration, all that stuff until we get to the point of forgiveness, which then helps us let go, which helps us get back to the original thing, which was just to accept it. So, you know, you have forgiveness, letting go, which are all, you know, part of love, which is helping us simply say, yes, this is actually happening. Yes, this just happened. Yes, this is what's going on. So yeah, that was a situation that presented itself. And what's wonderful is once I let it go, it made way for two other jobs to come forward that are going to take me out of LA anyways, which probably would have got in the way of doing the radio show. Right? So I'm glad right. that I had the awareness to let go. It only took me like maybe like 5 hours to be with it, maybe altogether, maybe a little bit less. And, you know, talk it out a little bit with someone that I really trusted. So it really helped with that acceptance. So because the greater love that we are, the creative love that we are, is constantly bringing in bigger and better things. And in order for that to happen, all we simply have to do is let go. Like we let go of the breath. Like I really find that the breath is a great teacher of letting go. It comes in, it goes. there's no attachment. It's not like, you know, whatever. So hopefully that can add to the conversation.
You know, Dave, I was listening to you a minute ago when you said the idea that life is a series of letting go. And I guess the next phase would be that we could take ourselves to a place where it becomes a never holding on to. So, I mean, we have to let go of these old, take off these old clothings that we wear all the time and these old ideas. But can we get to a place that it becomes versus a series of letting go to a place where it becomes never holding on? In other words, once we clean out the pipe, there's nothing left. So we just become a conduit for constant flow.
Right. Right, which is what your sacred heart is, right? The sacred heart is the ethereal body, right? So, yes, we can. And because, first of all, there's no place to get to.
Right.
Like, we're not trying to get, like, you know, let go of seeking and searching and trying to get somewhere. And, you know, most of the time, like, if we can really be honest with ourselves, What we're actually kind of saying, I brought this up, I think the other day when I was speaking to a group of people, I said, look, when you really look at like meditation or prayer, when it really comes down to it, what we're really saying is shut up. Shut up and listen. Right? So we're trying to teach ourselves to listen to what is happening right here. Without going to the other direction where we feel like we don't have any choice and we're victims and all that. We've all played there. So, you know, it's about here, really. And then from here, and if you, it just exists in like the third dimension kind of way. Life is just a series of reactions and the same old, and nothing changes and nothing, you know, nothing really does anything and you don't really do anything and blah, 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 blah. And then as you get to discover what's already here, then you move to the next kind of thing, which is choice, which is now you can discern. You can discern the feeling that's in your body, and you can be with the feeling without trying to change it. And you can go, oh, wow, look at
no
this is really heavy.
No judgment. Yeah, no judgment, right?
Yeah, this is really heavy, huh? Well, I just be with this, and what happens if I change this thought to happy? I know what happy feels like. What does happy feel like? Ooh, that's a little bit better. Okay. But you know, through the experience of what we would call making mistakes and falling down and all that stuff, to arrive here. And so I feel like we get caught up with getting places. Most people, when you sit with somebody, and you're really listening, you'll notice that they're not there, that they're not present. They're not in their body. You could see it in their eyes. They've traveled somewhere else, right? They've gone somewhere else.
Yeah.
And then something grabs their attention. They come back into their body, and they're like, well, what happened? What happened was you weren't here. That's what happened, right? So I feel like a lot of people, like, kind of astral project without knowing that that's what they're doing. And so really, our purpose, like you had brought up earlier, is here. And then from here, you'll begin to discover, you know, the state of being, which is love. Love is not an emotion. It's a state of being. Mm. And that beingness, which is just a concept to the mind, is real. More real than the mind, more real than the constant resistor. The resistor in the mind that's like, I want to go change the world. And then it's trying to fix people that don't want to be fixed. Or give advice to people that don't want advice. And then we give up all that stuff. We give up the searching, the seeking, the getting to, the mastery, the beginner, all of it. We just give it all up. And we feel lighter. So letting go, right? Letting go is as simple as just being aware of your breath right now. And just allowing the breath, they call it circular breathing. You know, circular breathing, essentially that you're breathing, the breath is coming into your body, and as it expands to almost full, the next breath comes in. And it's like you're making an infinity loop in your body. It's because we're not meant to, so we're not meant to think as much as you know, most people are aware of.
It was something you mentioned a bit ago. You gave a description of what it was like to be you when you did this radio show. And you heard the voice. The voice said, you know, tap, tap, tap on the shoulder. You're done. And you processed it.
Right?
You processed it, and you made it so. I had the same exactly happened to me. But with a different scenario. With my first marriage, it was going sour, and she was leaving. And the reason I got on the spiritual path in the first place years ago was from a 10-year relationship that broke up. And I went through all the heart pains and the depression and blah, blah, blah. And I got my spiritual groove on, and next thing you know, Keith's on his path to be a radio show host, best-selling author, guru, spiritual teacher kind of thing, right? But
right.
In 1997... my first wife was leaving, and as she was taking her very last possession, which was her pet dog, when that door shut behind her, I knew it was solidified. That situation was done.
Wow.
And so with one last wave of my hand, bye, the door shut, the bolt, and I'm sitting on the sofa with my past, meaning even in from that 10-year relationship, my 3-year relationship in this marriage, sitting on the sofa by myself with all that in my lap, my metaphorical lap, which is my mind. And I'm sitting here asking myself the question, I didn't ask myself the question. Spirit asked the question. And like you, I heard it very loudly and very emphatically in there was right. No way I can deny it. And when that door shut and I realized what I'm left with, sitting with, I heard loud and clear, "So, Keith, what do you propose to do with all of this?" And I actually thought about it. I actually thought about what could I do in this situation. it brings the show full circle, the topic of the show full circle. What are you going to do with this, Keith? And I'm like, let me think. And I caught myself processing and thinking, trying to think my way out of this.
Wow.
When I did, I came to a self-realization, which was, you were setting me up. I know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to release this now, and I'm going to release this to you. I'm done. And I was done. That next morning when I woke up, I felt no depression. I was not missing my soon-to-be ex-wife, wondering what she was doing, going by her house, making extra phone calls to hope she would answer. None of that, David. It was like the divine, you know, scrub brush just came inside of me and just wiped all that clean. And I'm telling you, from that realization of letting it go to that night sleep to waking up that morning, It was wiped clean, completely clean.
Wow.
How can we enlighten the listening audience, other than with these two examples, yours and mine? You know, maybe they won't hear that cosmic voice, or even just the prompting type of voice of letting go. They're, all they know is they're left with this big old bag of, you know, heaviness, and they're carrying it. They want to let it go. They want things to be lighter and different, but don't know how. What do you suggest or offer that they can do to find themselves moving through this place. Let me add to that real quick. An analogy I use in letting go when I do public talks is if you can imagine that there's a wheel inside of your chest, or let's say your tummy, your power center, your solar plexus chakra, and that wheel moves from top to bottom, and it spins very fast. And this is John Doe's life, Jill Doe's life. Every day we meander through the world. We try to hold on to things and grab things and forcefully make things happen. And that wheel has got momentum going. And when we start practicing the exercise or the spiritual practice of letting go, that wheel begins to slow down. It's still moving forward from top to bottom, but it's slowing down. And when that wheel comes to a stop, that's where things start to feel a little funky because there's no more movement, there's no more inertia. All you know is there's a stillness, and it feels like you might be teeter-tottering or falling or not really sure what's happening. But if you can stay in that place, that wheel begins to spin the opposite way from bottom to top. And so now the wheel is pulling into you, so to speak, and you begin to let go of your life. And therefore, it's no longer an effort. There's no longer a struggle. There's no longer a trying to control. With that being said, what do you offer up to our listening audience to help them to let go of a life situation that may be tough?
Well, you know what? Like, I have a book coming out soon called 90 Days of Heat, Freedom Through Moksha, which was simply just about my 90 straight days of hot yoga and pretty much like 90 different experiences that I, every day that I share and talk about with my, by the struggle and what I learned from it. And what happened on the yoga mat, which has become very helpful when I work with clients or even right now in this moment, we're talking about letting go, is, first, I really feel like, so we in the world, we've been conditioned in the world, I'll be brief, but we've been conditioned in the world to go, do, grab, be something. Then we come back to a spiritual whatever, whatever it is that you do that you consider spiritual. We're now taught to give up trying to be something and just be. And in that action, that bridge, really comes the heart of sincerity. So I feel like, first with the listeners, if they're sincere with actually letting go, that's going to really help out a lot. But if it's just to let it go, just to let it go and get it off you because it's uncomfortable and you don't want to be with it and it's too heavy and it's gross and you'd much rather just get on with your life and another relationship, right? So.
It really went nowhere, right?
Right. It's just going to be words. So if you're sincere about being with it, then this may help you. So what I discovered just in that process is, so for example, people listening may have, like you just described, Keith, a heavy feeling. Doesn't matter what the feeling is. Doesn't matter if it's anger or frustration or revenge or jealousy or envy. Or doesn't matter. Just be with the feeling in your body and feel wherever it is. And as you're with that feeling in your body, without judgment, without condemning yourself or blaming yourself or anything, just be aware of the feeling. That's it. Awareness is powerful because once you put your attention on something, it's going to transform. That's the power of awareness. So now your awareness is on the feeling. So if it's a strong feeling, you can ask yourself, what is this feeling for? And then you're going to get an answer, and you can ask yourself again, what is this feeling for? The feeling might say anger. Okay, what is this anger for? You know, frustration. Great. What's this frustration for? Whatever it is. And as you keep asking that question, you'll get to the root of what the cause is, whatever the cause is, but the cause is inside of you. So what will happen is, as you're with that feeling and that question, after a little bit, you're going to start to take some really deep breaths from that area as that feeling is being released. Because normally what happens is, in our state of reaction to life, and because we've been conditioned with shoulds, you should do it this way, you should be nice, you should be good, you should be kind, you should be abundant, you should be loving, you should, like all that stuff.
You're better.
Right. Right. So when something happens and the first, our first response is a reaction, which is resistance to what is, we either suppress, repress, or express. And when we do those actions, what we're actually doing is we're putting them in ourselves. And so once that suppression goes into ourselves, that repression for many years, what we notice is that when a feeling comes up, that feeling has a myriad of thoughts attached to it. This is very helpful for everybody because this will really help you with the core of what's going on. So what happens is, like in the 1970s, they developed therapy, psychology, and psychiatric care, and all sorts of things. And so what that means is that you have to go back to your past and relive stuff and keep talking about it. This will help you, and this will help you with all of it. What will happen is, once you're with the heaviness of a feeling, without trying to change it, without trying to fix it or make it something, the feeling itself will begin to dissipate. The charge will begin to dissipate. You'll be able to breathe it out. And you'll notice that those thoughts, all those thought patterns that are interrelated with that feeling, will drop away. And the next time that feeling comes up, the charge won't be that big. It'll be probably a little bit more manageable because we're energy beings and we're just here to manage our energy. So wherever we put our attention, that's where it's going to flow. So just, it's a lot easier to look at ourselves as energy managers than anything. So you're being an energy manager and you're managing the energy. Well, the energy right now is heavy. Okay, great. So if you get curious about what the energy is, the heaviness, ask yourself, what's this feeling for? You can keep asking yourself, and you'll keep getting quick answers, or an answer will come, and you just go with it. And this will help with letting go. And it will help with letting go of all the other thoughts, the myriad of thoughts that are connected to that feeling. Now, this is all wonderful process, because once you let go of the feeling completely, in your mind and in your life, you're now making new avenues of new beginnings. So the feeling that we had suppressed, maybe like when we were kids, maybe your mom or dad had a bad day, and we as parents know that. And they came home and they said something dumb, right? And they said something to you like, you're stupid, or you're not good enough. So now you went from a world as a kid where your life was okay and you felt safe, to now you don't feel okay and you don't feel safe. And that just changed your entire path. So that feeling is with you. Because maybe when that happened, you ran into your room and you cried. Or you held it inside and you tried to be whatever you were trying to be. What's great about this is that that feeling, whatever that feeling was, is coming up. Because it's reacting to a situation in life. And it's reacting to the situation in life pretty much because everything is perfect. And because that reaction is taking place, it's bringing up a feeling in you that is ready to be healed. And so now we're with that feeling and we can let it go. And so this is all part of the letting go process. And look, as you let go of the feeling, what you may discover, which I have discovered in my own life, is I've let go of some really, really heavy feelings without trying to figure them out. And when I let go of those really, really heavy feelings, I let go of all the thought patterns that went to it. And once that happened, I started getting epiphanies and insights and a bigger vantage point on on why things happened or why they unfolded. And it really kind of built that inner confidence and inner knowing and all that wonderful stuff, calmness, you know, certainty, all that stuff inside of me again. But it really brought me back home to know that I'm okay. That whatever's happening in the world, whatever's happening inside my own inner world, the noise, the loudness, no matter what, I'm okay and I'm safe. And so
that's a great way you describe that, David, because and I use that analogy a lot, especially when someone is confronted with a situation or find themselves submersed in a situation. They always, I think it applies to everyone. Everyone wants to just know that they're okay. As simple as an idea as that is, it encompasses so much. It's, for example, when someone has a fear, I invite them to look at it, play with it, manipulate it, taste it, poke it, prod it, caress it, you know, and do all these wonderful things to this fear, and then finally take that breath and you walk into it. Same analogy as the wheel turning. You find yourself a little funky because you just stepped into some gunk, and after you're there 30 seconds, it's not as bad. And after you're there 45 seconds to a minute, it's really not as bad. And then once you find yourself well through the threshold of this fear, you have okayed your way through it. And I think everybody wants to know that they're just okay.
Yeah, yeah, yes, you're right. And you know what might help out with your listeners as well is when I would work with, like, families that were bereaving or going through a loss, I'd always let them know this mantra. Here is some noise, and I'm okay, right? Because we all have, sometimes we have moments in our day or a week or our life where it's really noisy inside of us, or it's really noisy outside of us, or it's chaotic or whatever. And so, yeah, I definitely agree with what you're saying. I mean, sometimes you run into some people that may suggest that, you know, you're going through something and it's a subtle denial. Because they'll say, well, there's only love, you know, and that from that energetic, it's a sense of denial for what is actually happening. And so that's wonderful advice that you give to your clients and the people that you work with, as far as that, just reassuring them that it's okay, because, you know, look, we're both parents, we have kids, and, you know, when your child cuts their leg, you know, gets a cut or whatever, and you don't know what to do and they don't know what to do, the best thing is just to reassure both of you that it's going to be okay, because we might not have the we might not know the right thing to say at that moment, right? But right. It's okay. Like, we can get through this because we're okay right now. Like, we can move through this. Like, it's okay, right?
About a month ago, my boy, maybe it was 3 weeks ago, my son, he's famous for putting his fingers in holes. For example, we go to the grocery store and there's a cash register and there's a little hole, and he's always done this. I mean, his curiosity, and he puts his finger in the hole and I catch him in time. Son, don't put your finger in there. There could be some sort of mechanism in there that will cut your finger, and I'm not doing this out of, you know, I mean, I'm sure some of it is driven by fear, but in this case, this fear is quite helpful, because if he ever has intentions of playing guitar in his future or whatever it is he needs his fingers for, you know. And so that all being said, about a month ago, we had the house, and he has a little plastic toy, and he's probably not thinking about what he's doing. He's just putting his finger in the hole of this toy and just carrying on. And he's like, Dad, I said, what you got? He said, I can't get this off my finger.
Oh.
I went more into a freak out situation than he did. I mean, I kind of motivated him to take on my energetic characteristics, because I'm thinking now, yes, it's a plastic toy, I can't get it off. I tried using dish soap, bar soap, cooking oil. This thing was not coming off.
Wow.
It was determined to be a part of his finger. until I took him to the hospital. And finally, he just found the courage and the strength to pull this off of his finger, and of course, so did a lot of his skin. So my point of bringing this up is I know that place of what it's like to be a parent and to want them to always be okay, and when they're not seemingly okay, at least for me in that scenario, it was very easy for me to shift into, uh-oh, things are not okay in this moment. And, of course, that bled onto his experience because I'm the parent. And, you know, as you know, children look to parents as gods because, you know, we're taller. We, you know, we're their way.
Well, sure. It's funny because we just look like a bunch of giants.
Yeah. And so dad must know more than I do. That's why he's my dad and I'm his son. So if he's freaking out, I have cause to freak out with him. And so, but I'm the one that led us astray from everything being, versus just saying, okay, you got a toy in your finger, no big deal. We'll take you to wherever we got to go to get this thing done. Life goes on. We can look back at this next week and just laugh. But in that situation, for me, it was very serious.
Definitely. Well, yeah, even with the story that you just shared with us, you're okay. Right? Like,
yeah.
That's the beauty of love, is that no matter how it unfolds, right, no matter the stories we tell or the interpretations we have in an event, it's all love. I mean, we could look at it like a school or however we want to look at it, but that's the beauty of discovering the love that can only be discovered within, through us, by us making a sincere approach, having a sincere heart and conviction, right? Because real, you know, humility is to be with something without any interpretation or story. Just to allow it to be as it is without trying to make it something. And in a world that's trying to make everything something, you know, we look at someone that's humbled or in a place of humility and we go, well, that's not strong because they're not making it something. Right? But that's actually a real strength because they're in complete acceptance, and from the acceptance, you're able to manage and have a choice on where you want to go from there. It's like, you know, it's like we're all sailing these ships. And when we first start sailing this ship, we forget that we have any choice and the ships go everywhere. And then we go, oh, wait, what are these sails for? Right? And, oh, look, there's a little steering wheel. I wonder what that does. Right? So then we start to kind of like mark a course, and maybe the course doesn't work out the way that we want, so we remark another course because that's the beauty. You had brought up a wonderful word earlier with your client when you said, let's play with this. And sometimes we're in this vast creative love, all of us. And we're playing. You came down here to play. And when kids play, they create. And when things don't work out, you just recreate again. But we get bummed out because we go, well, I failed, or I made a mistake, but there is no loss in the universe. There's only letting go. So let that go, however way that you discover is best for you. And you will be okay when you try this again. But with any endeavor or anything in our lives, it's all creative. And most of the time, we're making up the rules that don't make sense anyways because we want that comfort, or we want something out of it, like we're trying to give to get. I talked on Friday at this concert, this band, the lead singer, who's really great. I think you've had her on your show. Have you had Jennifer Russell on your show?
I have not.
I will connect you
to
you two. Yeah, you two will vibe out well, and you guys will probably go play together. So she's a musician from Agape, and she's played everywhere. Her and her husband plays guitar, she plays piano. They read my book, The Book of Light, and she wrote a song called We Are Light.
Which is an awesome book, by the way, The Book of Light by Dave Matthew Brown.
Oh. Well, the song, so she sent me the song, and I bawled. So on Friday night, they played it live with a big band. Harper was there. It was really emotional. It was fun. And then they wanted me to give a talk. So I gave a talk the day before Valentine's on give to give. Just give all your love and not expect anything in return. Like, don't give things to get things back, like, because then that's not the right energetic. Might feel good at the time because you're giving it, and then you feel like, well, I'm grateful for this, but then you want something in return. So give to give. And, you know, and with that giving to give is our creativity, right? Like when you play music, I'm sure that when you're really on and you're on fire, that you're just giving it, and it's people are receiving it and giving it back to you, but you're not giving it to get a response because you're just solely in love as you play.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Right.
And that's when you're just, and then you're just like euphoric or whatever you guys could do. You go have a party afterwards or whatever you do, but it's because you're just in that place of euphoria because you're just so, like, it's just flowing. And you know, and like we had started off your show with, that's the place that we were talking about, that you were mentioning about getting to let go with open hands, right? To have your hands completely open and not hold on to anything. And that's the process that takes a sincere heart, a sincere-hearted person to move in that direction, to just keep letting go, no matter what's happening, to just keep letting it go. It's not personal. Hello? Hello? Am I on the air by myself? Hello? Hello?
Ah, this is Keith Blanchard. Back to the show. We must have had some energetic problems. The energy must have been getting too high with my guest, Mr. David Matthew Brown. Hopefully he's going to call back. The technology just dropped out completely from the show. We'll give it a few minutes. I want to say thank you for David Matthew Brown being here. There he is.
Oh?
Brother.
So I was a demonstration for letting go. Just let it go. It's all good.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. You know, you were talking earlier about playing music and getting to that spot of absolute just letting go. That is when the magic happens, not only for myself, but for the rest of the band members. When I say magic, I mean that word literally in every possible way you can imagine. There is a fire. There is something divine. There is something beyond the scope of four or five guys playing on stage that begins to happen. And it begins to meander its way through all the musicians that are involved in participating. So I know they play. But something else I wanted to touch on was when I was first walking my spiritual path, I had someone who was mentoring me by the name of Mike, a very, very enlightened man. I mean, he just freaks people out just by sitting at the same.
Wow. Hello?
Mr. David Matthew
Mike's
Brown.
Pretty, Mike's pretty good.
Yeah. He first taught me about storytelling. He would ask me, Keith, how are you doing this week? You know, what went on with you for the weekend? And man, let me tell you, that's all the permission I needed. I would tell him I took off my right sock, and then I took off my left sock, and then I walked to the refrigerator. And I made this story last as long as I could. And he was like, you know, Keith, really, that's not what I really wanted from you. I'm asking you, how was your weekend, basically? Oh, I had a great weekend. I went hang out with David Matthew Brown, went and see a good concert, ate some good food, hung out with some good friends. Mine was a good weekend. How about yourself? It's really what he wanted, was just the meat and potatoes of, you know, the essence of how am I doing at this period of my life. And he suggested that I would put all over my house where I frequent during the day that said, no story. No story.
Wow. So I just got
everywhere chilled. Everywhere I went, it gave me the opportunity to speak with someone and give them the essence of what it is that we can communicate about, but also leave the silence as part of the story so they can use their own interpretation versus me just wearing them out of hot air.
Wow.
It really helped me further along my path, absolutely. David, we have 3 minutes left. Well, would you give out your contact information to our listening audience and leave us with a final thought?
Sure. People can contact me at Facebook at David Matthew Brown. You can also find me on Twitter at 90 Days of Heat. And you can also find me at Wrestling With Yourself, which is good. And I'm going to leave you with this final thought. There is two men, Jack and Ralph, and they argued for 50 years whether Jesus is black or whether Jesus is white. And so on the same day, they passed away. And when they got to the pearly gates, they wanted to know who was right. So they said, was Jesus white or was Jesus black? Just then, Jesus walked out of the gates and said, Buenas noches.
Absolutely.
Share that at your concert this weekend.
What a great show. I really enjoy you. And when is your book, 90 Days of Heat, going to be released?
Officially, it was supposed to be on March 27th, and it's actually going to be on February 27th. So they could read it. I have an article in the Yogi Times if they want to read it on Facebook.
Well, keep us posted on anything and everything that you're doing, because you're always welcome here on the Center of Light Radio Show.
Thanks, Keith. It's a blessing being here. Thank you for having me.
Blessing to be to have you here in the Center of Light. And also, if you would, as a reminder, please hook me up with your musician friend. I love great guests.
Oh, yeah. I'll do it right now.
Yeah. Awesome. Be well, my dear friend. Be well, and thank you.
All right. Thank you, Keith.
Everyone, David Matthew Brown. You're welcome, sir. David Matthew Brown, what an inspiration to this listening audience. What an inspiration to me. Great work. Great guy. The guy is connected. The guy is grounded. The guy has done his work. He has done his work, and I'm acknowledging him publicly for that. My name is Keith Anthony Blanchard. Also, you can go to KeithAnthonyBlanchard.com for all your Keith Anthony Blanchard needs, from links to this radio show archives, as well as all my books, all my creations. I'm just blessed to sit here in the chair and speak to people like David Matthew Brown, Dr. Scientist, and all those people that I'm fortunate to have on the show, coming here to enlighten me with their experience about what is the path for them, what is the path for you, as they share what they have gleaned in their life and what their truth is. And somehow all these different truths lay over each other, and they all are multifaceted, and we can all put this puzzle together to create the peace in this world deserves, that we have been moving towards for quite a while, but it seems like the world is in a dark place right now. But that is a story, as David would say. That is a story we're telling ourselves. It is not a dark world. Peace is happening now. Don't believe the idiot box we call the tube, the TV. Believe what lives in your heart. Live what lives in your heart. And the world will become a manifestation of that. Have a great evening. Ease into bliss. Keith Anthony Blanchard.